Welcome to the Spirited Sports Podcast. From the ovations of the crowd to the tense moments of anticipation, it's safe to say that sports have a special way of bringing people from all walks of life to a united front. On this fun-filled podcast, Nick DeChico, Todd Ashtua, Tully Kaka-Latrice, and many more explore the spirited stories, highs and lows, and triumphs and heartbreaks that makes being a sports fan an emotional roller coaster ride. The Spirited Sports Podcast is the perfect place for sports fans to get the latest sports news, insights, and opinions. Fans are the backbone of the sports industry. Whether we're podcasters, broadcasters, or listeners, our journey to sports fandom has to start somewhere because we're all fans first. This is the Spirited Sports Podcast.
The playoffs are in full swing as another episode of Spirited Sports is coming your way. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spirited Sports. Nick and Tully with you here as always. Tully, we have a very exciting announcement to make right off the top of the show here.
It's a very, very exciting day here on the podcast, episode 46. Our third voice has arrived, and this is long overdue. Without further ado, our third co-host, please take it away.
Hello, Spirited Sports listeners. My name is Stephen Lucas, and I'm proud to be the third co-host. I am beyond thrilled and excited to be part of the podcast and can't wait to talk sports with my fellow co-hosts, Nick and Tully. I want to thank Nick and Tully for giving me the opportunity to be on the show this summer, and I really look forward to having great conversations about sports with them. Let's get this episode of Spirited Sports underway.
Well said, Stephen. You are a great voice and kind of give the Kawhi Leonard trade effect there to on the Raptors championship run here to the pod. So we're thrilled to have you, buddy. So welcome again.
All righty. Let's start it off in Edmonton with a series between the Oilers and the Kings. Game three last night, two quick goals in the third period by the Oilers and win game three. The series is now 2-1 in favor of the Kings. And let's talk about it.
Doughty, Adrian Kempe, and Trevor Moore each had a goal and assist for the Kings, who are the number two seed from the Pacific Division. Kempe made 29 saves, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins put the Oilers ahead 1-0 2 minutes into the first period, scoring from in tight past Kemper's blocker after receiving a spinning pass from Zach Hyman. Evan Bouchard made it 2-0 on a power play 8 minutes into the first period. Draisaitl won a faceoff in the left circle, kicked it back to Bouchard, who skated just above the circles before scoring blocker side on Kemper. Kevin Fiala then tied it 2-2 at 5 minutes 43 seconds of the second period, scoring a power play goal with a wrist shot from the right circle that beat Pickard glove side. Drew Doughty, the captain of the Los Angeles Kings, then scored another power play goal to put Los Angeles in front 3-2 at 15:07 of the second period. He sent a wrist shot from the point through traffic and passed Pickard's glove side also.
The goals 10 seconds apart by Kane and Bouchard are tied for the fourth fastest in Oilers history. Kempe's the fifth player in Kings history to begin a postseason with a three-game goal streak. A
great showing for the Oilers, who needed to bounce back after being down 2-0 in the series.
Is this how it's going to have to be for the Oilers, scoring, you know, 5 to 7 goals a game to win? Because personally, I don't think that's sustainable in the playoffs. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's not really sustainable. Defense has to kind of tighten up there for the Oilers. Yeah, 7 goals a night is not sustainable, especially in a series against the Kings.
This is the fourth year in a row that these teams are meeting in the playoffs. I think that this is the best Kings team that the Oilers have faced. Darcy Kemper's been really, really good in net for the Kings, and I think it's a little concerning that the Oilers have had to turn to Calvin Pickard. If you look at the Kings, it's a very, very deep team. So I think the Oilers will really need to get some production from their third and fourth lines. Nick, do you think it's imperative that they win game four?
Yeah, I think it is, because, you know, if you look at it, if you lose game four, you're down 3-1, you got to win 3 games in a row, right? It's pretty imperative that they need to win game four and get the series tied up again. The Stars top the Avalanche in overtime in game three and take a lead in the Western Conference first round. Jake Ottinger also had 27 saves on the game that night, so great performance for him. Good bounce back win for Ottinger. Yeah, a special moment here for the Colorado Avalanche. Their captain returning to the NHL, Gabriel Landeskog, playing his first NHL game in almost 3 years, recording a team-high 6 hits and winning 1 of 2 faceoffs in his 13-plus minutes of ice time in the game. The 32-year-old hasn't played since June 26 of 2022, when he assisted to help the Avs beat the Lightning in a 2-1 win in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals to win the Cup that year. So it was great to see him come back. I know a lot of fans were really excited to see him back on the ice, and he did a great job in his first game back, considering he hasn't played in almost 3 years.
This is a way deeper Avalanche team, more depth in their offensive lineup than in past series. In past series, there was a real drop-off for Colorado in their third and fourth lines offensively, but you look now with throughout their lineup, top to bottom, their offensive core there, you got Charlie Coyle now, Brock Nelson. Oh, and you also got Marty Natchez, Jack Drury there as well. So
Blackwood's been fairly decent for the Avalanche, obviously going up head-to-head against Ottinger. That is a great goalie matchup. In terms of Heiskanen being out for the Stars, that is a huge loss for them. Thomas Harley has been great for them since the Four Nations, but losing him, a top two defenseman on your back end, definitely hurts.
And wouldn't this just be fitting in this series if Mikko Rantanen scores like a game seven winner against the Colorado Avalanche? But there's still some time to go before that. At the moment, Dallas is up 2-1 in the series, and we'll see what happens next. But with that in mind, Nick, take us through the Battle of Florida.
Yes, the Battle of Florida. Later start than all the other series. They're only into Game 2. But the Panthers blank the Lightning in Game 2 of the Eastern first round matchup here. Bobrovsky made 19 saves for the Panthers in a 2-0 win against Tampa Bay. It was Bobrovsky's fourth career postseason shutout and his first since a 3-0 win against the Oilers in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals last season. Some unfortunate news here for the Panthers, as Barkov sustained an undisclosed injury in the third period after taking a hit away from the puck by Tampa's Brandon Hagel. Hagel was assessed a major penalty following a video review.
After Hagel was assessed the major penalty for his hit on Barkov, Tampa Bay was able to successfully kill off all 5 minutes to keep it a one-goal game with 5 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the period. The Panthers held the Lightning just to 3 shots on goal in the third period, and went 5-for-5 on the penalty kill, which is huge, as special teams is always an X factor in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, this series for the Florida Panthers is a really good one. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions, so they look really, really good going into this series. You know, they lost home ice advantage when they slipped out of the second seeded spot in the Atlantic Division, but they were banged up. They were banged up to end the season, but they come out firing on all cylinders, especially in these first two games. So for the Tampa Bay Lightning, we'll see what they have in terms of an answer as the series heads back to Sunrise.
So, Steven, quick question for you before we move on. This is something which has crossed my mind. Why do you think Bobrovsky has been able to outduel Vasilevsky so far? Because these are two Vezina caliber goalies here.
Obviously, both goalies of Vezina caliber, and Vasilevsky winning 2 cups and Bobrovsky winning a cup last year with Florida. Why Bobrovsky has played better? I think he's been more squared to the puck than Vasilevsky has. And also, I feel like Florida's defense has done a better job of boxing guys out of the paint and letting Bobrovsky see the puck more clear.
For Game 3 between the Wild and the Golden Knights, the Wild win this game with a 2-goal performance from Kaprizov. Kaprizov had 2 goals for the second straight game, and the Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-2 in game. The Wild lead the series 2-1 after the series was tied 1-1, and Game 4 on Saturday night.
So, Steven, why do you think Minnesota has been able to take this 2-1 series lead, and do you see it's sustainable for the Wild as this series goes on?
I definitely think it's sustainable for the Wild moving forward. I mean, guys like Ryan Hartman, Marcus Foligno, who get to the dirty areas of the ice to produce, is what you need in the playoffs. The past couple games, Matt Boldy and Kirill Kaprizov and Marco Rossi have been unbelievable for the Wild, just outdoing the Golden Knights stars. The Knights power play was the second best in the NHL in the regular season, but they've now picked a bad time to go cold. I believe in Game 2 it was, or it might have been Game 3, the Knights went 0-for-4 on the man advantage, and 3 of those chances came in the third period. So you really need to capitalize on those. And especially when power plays are going to be hard to come by in a Stanley Cup playoff series, and especially when both teams are top 5 in the regular season with fewest penalties drawn. So if the Knights want to get back in the series, special teams is going to have to improve. But for the Wild, man, have they proven me wrong so far.
Now, transitioning to the Battle of Ontario, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Ottawa Senators, a series which has been long awaited and has been one-sided so far, but two of the three games have been quite competitive. And, you know, the first two games of the series were in Ontario's capital of Toronto, and now games three and four are in the nation's capital of Ottawa. So, Nick and Steven, take it away.
Benoit scored at 1 minute and 19 seconds of overtime to give the Toronto Maple Leafs a 3-2 win against the Ottawa Senators in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference first round at Canadian Tire Center. Auston Matthews won a faceoff in the left circle, which kicked back to Simone Benoit, whose slap shot beat Linus Allmark through traffic to win the game. Auston Matthews had a goal and an assist, Mitch Marner had two assists, and Anthony Stolarz made 18 saves for Toronto. Claude Giroux had a goal and assist, Brady Tkachuk scored for the Ottawa Senators, and Allmark made 17 saves for the Senators, who are the first wild card from the East.
So, Steven, I have a question for you here for the Toronto Maple Leafs power play. In this series, this looked really good, but at times during the regular season, there were stretches where it wasn't as good. What do you think kind of changed the momentum for Toronto on their power play throughout this series?
A good question, Nick. Obviously, in the past, especially last year versus Boston, the power play was atrocious. I definitely think Berube and Mark Savard coming in have changed the system on the power play, and that's definitely helped. Also, I think they're just gaining the offensive zone better. In these last stretch of games, they're winning timely faceoffs on the power play instead of losing it, and obviously the puck being dumped back in their own defensive zone. But they're also shooting more pucks on net. They're not looking for that pretty play, that pretty pass, pretty shot. I mean, Matthew Niles, I mean, he's been unreal at parking himself in front of the net and screening Allmark. So I've really been impressed with them. And if their special teams keep on playing the way they do, it's going to be hard for Ottawa to get back in the series. Taking you to the Carolina Hurricanes versus New Jersey Devils series now. Simon Nemec, who was playing just his second career game in the Stanley Cup playoffs, came through at the most opportune moment after splitting two Carolina Hurricanes players in the right faceoff circle and scoring on a wrist shot at 2 minutes and 36 seconds of the second overtime to give the Devils a 3-2 win in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference first round. The 21-year-old defenseman has certainly come into his own in the postseason after struggling to find some consistency during the regular season when he had 4 points, which was 2 goals and 2 assists, and a minus 10 rating in 27 games, which is not the best stat line for a defenseman.
So Devils now trail the best of seven series 2-1 and will look to even up things in Game 4 on Sunday. So Nemec was forced to log some tough minutes in this game as well after the Devils played three-plus periods with just 5 defensemen after Kovacevic sustained an undisclosed injury in the first period and did not return. Additionally, Jonas Siegenthaler logged 27-plus minutes of ice time in his first game since February 4th, when he sustained a lower body injury and missed the remainder of the regular season. Nemec had 5 shots on goal in 22-plus minutes of ice time on Friday. He logged 14-plus minutes in his playoff debut in Game 2 in Raleigh on Tuesday. Nemec became the second youngest defenseman in NHL history to score an overtime goal in the playoff. The Devils were also missing defensemen Luke Hughes and Brendan Dillon, who each have missed the past 2 games after sustaining undisclosed injuries in their 4-1 loss to the Hurricanes in Game 1 of the series. So, Tully, I have a question for you here. What do you think is the most important thing for the Devils to get back into this series?
I think it comes down to goaltending. I think, you know, it appears to be Jacob Markstrom that's going to take the helm here in net, but even if it was Jake Allen, I think the goaltenders for the Devils need to out-duel the Carolina Hurricanes netminders, whether it's Freddie Anderson or Kochekov in net. Because I think both teams have good netminders. Allen and Markstrom are two seasoned vets in the league, but the benefit of that is so much experience and poise. The jitterbugs that come with being in the playoffs, I mean, Allen and Markstrom have both been there before. And not to say, as has Freddie Anderson and Kochekov, but I think in net, against a team like Carolina that's so stingy, and Rod Brind'Amour has the Hurricanes playing, you know, all 4 lines on offense and all 3 pairings on defense. Like, it's just a very deep and balanced team. I think the Devils, who are very top heavy with their top six on offense and, you know, their top pairing on defense. I think goaltending is going to have to make the difference, to be honest, in my opinion there. Now, transitioning to the Blues and Jets series, Buchnevich has a hat trick. Blues score 7 in game 3 in the win against the Jets. Fowler gets 5 points for St. Louis. Mamma mia, which cuts Winnipeg's Western first round series lead to 2-1. Pavel Buchnevich scored his first Stanley Cup playoff hat trick, a really underrated player there, and had an assist for the St. Louis Blues in a 7-2 win against the Winnipeg Jets in Game 3 of the Western Conference first round at Enterprise Center on Thursday. David Gustafson and Neil Pionk scored for the Jets, who won the President's Trophy as the team with the most points in the regular season. But, you know, there is that kind of President's Trophy curse there historically, so we'll see how that pans out this year. But Connor Hellebuck allowed 6 goals on 25 shots before being replaced by Eric Comrie, who allowed 1 goal on 3 shots. Buchnevich made it 1-0 at 48 seconds of the first period, scoring on a backdoor tap-in after Fowler's shot hit off the left wall and then went on to hit Snuggerud in front.
Buchnevich then made it 2-0 at 3 minutes and 11 seconds into the period with a power play goal, tapping in a Thomas pass from the left circle. Defenseman Fowler then made it 3-0 at 15 minutes and 51 seconds into the period. The Jets thought they scored at 10 minutes and 5 seconds of the second period on a Cole Perfetti one-timer that Binnington gloved during a power play. However, a review concluded that there was no conclusive evidence to overturn the call on the ice, which led to a no goal, and it remained 3-0 for the St. Louis Blues. Buchnevich completed the hat trick at 5 minutes and 24 seconds into the period to make it 4-1. Jordan Kyrou scored on a 5-on-3 power play goal at 7 minutes and 56 seconds into the period to make it a 5-1 lead for the St. Louis Blues. He buried a wrist shot from the high slot using Braden Schenn as a screen. Toropchenko then made it a 6-1 lead for the St. Louis Blues at 10 minutes and 32 seconds into the period on a redirection in the slot that chased Hellebuck from the game in favor of Comrie.
This series is playing out to be a good one, and this should be a good one between two very hungry teams that are needing for a playoff success here this year.
All right, so transitioning to a new role here, which we are very happy to put into effect here at Spirited Sports. So, without further ado, our first ever sports correspondent, please take it away.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on again today. You know, it's greatly appreciated as always. I'm proud to announce that I'm going to be the Spirited Sports Podcast sports correspondent, an opportunity I'm really excited about and looking forward to working with you guys more. And for those that don't know me, my name is Nicholas Lampiris. I've been on a few times before as a special guest, but now I'm transitioning into the sports correspondent role, and I'm really excited to have a bigger role and just, you know, speak my mind about sports and stuff and just keep it entertaining as possible for the listeners. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we'll be talking Montreal Canadiens here. 2 questions too, which we'll begin into here. So the first of which is, Nico, why do or don't you think the Montreal Canadiens scratching Arbor, Jack Eye for games 1 and 2 was or wasn't the wrong move?
Okay, getting into this one straight up, I think scratching Arbor, Jack Eye for the first 2 games, wrong move in my opinion. I do understand though why St. Louis kept Struble in the lineup, who is the one that Jack Eye replaced for game 3 last night. It's just because, you know, Montreal was on a hot streak, grinding in to get to the playoffs. Struble was playing, I get it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But after looking at how game 1 went and the way Washington, even the way they've been hitting, honestly, from game 1 till now, nailing them, finishing checks, the only guy on Montreal really been doing that a lot is Josh Anderson and maybe a little bit of Jake Evans. But the one that really stuck out for me, especially yesterday with that bench brawl with Tom Wilson, is Josh Anderson. And I think Montreal needs more of that. You know, it's the playoffs, right? The playoffs is a whole different animal. But getting a guy like Jack Eye into the lineup should have been a non-negotiable from game 1 because he'll throw his body around, get the crowd going in the warm-ups of the game 3 last night. Jack Eye was already at center ice, shooting pucks, like crossing over the line, staring at the other team, you know, trying to get in their heads, right? Like, that's just stuff you need for the playoffs. So I honestly think it was the wrong decision that he wasn't in the lineup the first 2 games. And as you could tell, Montreal won last night, played really well. He did all right, but he also contributed physically. I think he should be in the lineup for the foreseeable future because he just brings that grit and that physical presence that every team needs in the playoffs.
Question number 2 is, why do or don't you think that Joshua Waugh's absence has or hasn't negatively affected the Montreal Canadiens' chances of prolonging the series versus the Caps?
If I'm honest, I don't think Joshua Waugh's absence has negatively impacted the Habs' chances of prolonging this series at all. Just because he's barely played in the NHL this year, I think he's got 2 goals in the games that he's played. I think he's played 12 games and he's got 2 goals. And he's not even point per game in the AHL this year, right? So I don't think he's ready for this level yet. However, I do think like Heinemann and Kapanen have filled voids that Joshua Waugh wouldn't be able to right now. Who knows? Maybe he could. It would be cool to see him play a game, but I just don't think he's ready yet. And introducing Demidov into the lineup right at the end of the season, I think that was a good idea. He's been really good. He's slowly getting his minutes increased into the playoffs, which got to cut him some slack. You know, he hasn't played crazy minutes yet, not first line minutes, but he's also like a 19, 20-year-old kid getting thrown into his third career NHL game, being game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? So it's kind of tough for him to adjust, but I honestly think he has been promising. And kind of going back to the last question, right? I think Jacky's absence has more negatively affected Montreal's chances of prolonging the series because he'll take hits, he'll lay down hits on people. Something that, and I read a stat also that said that the number of hits that Habs defensemen had taken in game one and two, it was crazy the amount of hits they were taking. So I think Jacky would come help alleviate that pressure. And I think the absence of Logan Thompson is huge because he's been massive for Washington. So I think Montreal can really capitalize on the fact that he might be injured a while. He was really limping off in pain last game. I know Montembeau's also injured, but I think Jakub Dobiš is a very good backup goalie, and I think he'll rise to the occasion. So it'll really be interesting to see how this series ends up.
Nico, we really enjoyed your insightful responses here. So we're looking forward to having you on much more, looking ahead to as well, and hearing your insight on various topics as well. So Nico, thank you so much. So taking it to La Belle Provence, so we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens, who score 6 and pull away from Caps in game 3 of the Eastern first round, you know, series and matchup there. Montembeau unfortunately leaves for Montreal. He had to exit the game there. And then Thompson injured late for Washington. The Montreal Canadiens scored 3 straight goals in the third period to pull away for a 6-3 win against the Washington Capitals in game 3 of the Eastern Conference first round at Bell Center on Friday. Christian Dvorak, Devo, gave the Canadiens a 4-3 lead, the third time they had led by 1 goal at 4:17 before Juraj Slafkovský extended it to 5-3. By tapping in a pass from Cole Caulfield at 13:23. You know, goal Caulfield, but in this case, getting the assist there. Alex Newhook then scored Montreal's second power play goal of the game at 17:35 for the 6-3 final. The Canadiens trail the best of 7 series 2-1. Game 4 will be in Montreal on Sunday. Caulfield and Newhook each had a goal and an assist, and Alexandre Carrier and Nick Suzuki also scored for the Canadiens, who are the second wild card from the Eastern Conference. Nick.
We can't talk about this game without talking about the injury replacements that we saw throughout this game. So first, let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens injury in Sam Montembeau. Made 11 saves on 13 shots for the Canadiens before he left just about halfway through the second period. Jakub Dobiš replaced him and made 7 saves on 8 shots for the rest of the way. Canadiens coach Martin St. Louis didn't provide an update on Montembeau's status or the reason why he was replaced. Looking at highlights, it looked like it might have been a knee issue or hamstring. We don't really know yet, but we'll see what happens there. And then for the Capitals, Logan Thompson made 30 saves before leaving with an injury, which he sustained when Dylan Strome fell on top of him after Slafkovský scored, and Charlie Lindgren made 4 saves and 5 shots in relief. For Thompson, this looks like a significant injury, at least from the highlights that we've seen. You know, Strome comes in with such speed and knocks over Thompson. This looks almost to be like a knee injury because of how awkwardly he fell, and Thompson's knee kind of twisting on the way down with the pads in the way, so I don't know. It's not a good look for both starting goaltenders in this series, but we'll have to wait and see.
Crazy sequence at the end of the period there. Montembeau Bo was skating, trying to skate back to the tunnel at the end of the period when it looked like a Capitals player was getting in his way, which escalated the situation. And then obviously a scrum, a bench scrum breaking out as Anderson and Wilson started to go at each other, which ended up in the Capitals bench with the ref trying to break it up. But just a wild sequence. But you got to love Josh Anderson dragging his team into the fight and showing that this Habs team is not going to give up, and it's going to take every second of the series if Washington wants to win it.
Well said, Stevie.
The Canadiens, they needed a spark, and they got it with that Josh Anderson incident. And they needed something to get behind, and this whole skirmish there at the end of the second period, exactly what they needed. They came out with a lot of firepower. That the Bell Center was so loud during that game, and they needed that in order to kind of get back into the series. So we'll see what happens throughout the next few games with this Canadian series. But now let's introduce a second guest of the episode. Elias Rakos is back to talk about the Canadians.
So, as Nick said, we'll be talking Habs here with Elias, our special guest here on episode 46 of the pod. So the first question is, why do or don't you think that Jakub Dobež is or isn't a better backup goalie than Charlie Lindgren?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me once again. I'll say this. Jakub Dobež, I think, is still very young. He's shown a little bit of success so far, quite a bit of success, in fact, in his first few games. That being said, he's only played a handful of games in the regular series, and now, of course, playing in the playoffs until Montembeau hopefully will return from Montreal. I think he's better than Charlie Lindgren. I think Lindgren has proven to be a decent goalie, but I think that what Jakub Dobež has shown so far, I think that he's shown that he can be better than Lindgren overall. So I think Dobež is better right now, just based off of what I've seen from Dobež over Lindgren. That being said, if Lindgren can continue to play well, then you never know. Maybe I'll have to rethink my answer for this question.
Question number two. Why do or don't you think that Josh Anderson is or isn't a more effective tough guy than Tom Wilson?
Now, with Josh Anderson, I think Josh Anderson is pretty tough. I think that if you look at the first couple games, I think he was one of the few people making hits for the Canadians in Washington. But I wouldn't say he's more of a tough guy necessarily than Tom Wilson. I think Wilson's been doing it for quite a while now. I think that Wilson has a little bit more experience, and I think that just overall Anderson can be tough. It's so tough. I mean, they had that fight in the bench the other day, and it's just so tough. But I mean, overall, I would have to say Tom Wilson, strictly for the reason that I just think he has more of a reputation being that tough guy, that enforcer, if you will, in the league over Josh Anderson. So I'm going to have to say Tom Wilson is just a little bit more physical, or has a more physical reputation maybe than Josh Anderson.
Question number three. Why do or don't you think that Marty St. Louis is or isn't a better head coach than Spencer Carberry?
Spencer Carberry and Martin St. Louis, they've been coaching for roughly about the same time now, or pretty similar time, each for a few years. And each have taken their teams to different heights based on where their organizations are at respectively. And I'll explain what I mean by this. With the Washington Capitals and Spencer Carberry, they were more of a developed team, ready to win, but ready to do a little bit better, be higher up than the Canadiens. And so if you look at the success that Carberry's brought, I think he's done a really good job in Washington. As for St. Louis, the Habs were in a rebuild for a while, and they're actually ahead of schedule now by making this year's playoffs, because they weren't supposed to make it, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, I believe. So I think that Martin St. Louis has had a lot of success. He's been the right coach for the Habs, and each of them has been very successful. So I have to say that they've both been successful, but in their own distinct ways.
Question number four. Why do or don't you think that Caden Gooley is or isn't a more promising young blue liner than Rasmus Sandin?
I think with Rasmus Sandin, what you have to look at is his career so far. I mean, he's been with the Leafs, or he was with the Leafs for a while. He wasn't too bad in Toronto. I think he did pretty well. And with Washington lately, he's been, I think, he's taken that next step, and I think he's really improved, in my opinion. And he's played a big part for this Washington Capitals team. As for Keaton Gooley, I think Gooley is still young. I think he's only improving, and he's on the up and up. He's had his first 3 years here with the Habs. I think he's played pretty well for them. And I think he's only bound to improve and bound to continue to get better. So I think the question being, who has a more, or the more promising potential, or who's the more promising young blue liner? I would have to say Keaton Gooley overall.
So the fifth and final question is, why do or don't you think that Ivan Demidov does or doesn't have higher upside and more potential than Ryan Leonard?
Boy, this is a tough one right here. I mean, Ivan Demidov came in at the very end of the season. I think he's been playing pretty well so far. As for Ryan Leonard, I mean, he's been having a great season, I think, or a pretty good season for the Capitals as well. And they're both just so new and so young and learning that I think that they both have a very good potential to do well. I can speak a little more for Demidov because I've watched him more than I have Leonard. But, I mean, he's just been, I think, a great fit for this team. And I think that he's only going to continue to improve and he's going to have a great career. As I think Ryan Leonard's going to have a great career as well. So it's really a tough choice for me to be able to say, you know, which one has a higher upside. But I think that they're both going to have very good careers overall.
Elias, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast today. We really enjoyed your insightful responses, and we're looking forward to having you join us once again in the near future. Elias Drakos, thank you so much.
This was a very exciting episode. Steven, your first episode here as our third co-host for the summer. This was fantastic. A great way to start off with a great chat about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll make sure in the next few episodes to talk also about the NBA playoffs, which has been quite exciting too. But we'll get more into that in the episodes to come. Steven, you want to have some final remarks here as we end off the episode?
Just want to say thank you to your thank you to you both for having me on as a third co-host. And I look forward to future episodes.
Yeah, just one final thing, too, I'd like to throw in there is, Nick, pleasure as always. Elias, great job as a guest. Nico, great work there in your first episode as a sports correspondent. And last but not least, Steven, great work. Absolutely fantastic job in your debut episode as a co-host. You really, really did well. You're a great third voice, and we're really, really looking forward to having you with us here as a co-host for the months to come. So once again, great job, Steven.
That'll do it for the end of episode number 46 of Spirited Sports. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.